Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us all together, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you bless all the brethren that are joining us tonight. We ask, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them and bless them with discernment and understanding and wisdom. And Lord, we want to see all of your people abiding in that protection of the Passover lamb. You've showed us that that's something that you've been giving us for the last couple of weeks, Lord, is that we are to be under the Passover, and our faith should be such that we believe it. And Father, we thank you that everybody here tonight has that faith. We thank you for your great bold faith that you've given us, Lord, and we praise you for it, Lord. We ask for your blessings upon all of us tonight, Lord. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit, wisdom, and discernment, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless our conference call tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Awesome. All right, it has. It's been an awesome day today. I just want to tell you a few things that's happened. We've been getting words recently about the Passover lamb and how we ought to be looking at Psalms 91, and not only looking at it, getting it in our heart. Memorize it. Put it in your heart, in your spirit, and understand that it's for each one of us. For the days ahead, it looks like this thing is coming down to the wire, and we're going to need that. We're going to need the faith to believe that Psalms 91 is for us. And just a little warning that we've had visions. I think one of the ladies here had a vision of an open vision of looking out over a cliff, and she saw. In the valley, hundreds of thousands of people, and one angel would cover with his wings. She said she heard the angels come in. Beautiful angels, absolutely beautiful angels coming in and going down. And one angel would cover over three people, and they would cover over them and protect them from what? Don't know, but it was from whatever it was. They were being protected by the angels, and we believe that that's a Psalm 91, part of the Psalm 91, I believe. So anyway, we need to abide in Christ. That's where our protection lies, is abiding in Christ. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. We'll talk a little bit more about this a little bit later. Does anyone need prayer or have a prayer request? All right. Everybody's good to go. That's good. I like that. Caught up on all their prayers. That's good. Well, Lord, I'm just going to pray, and I want to pray for everybody in here, Lord, that you place it in their hearts, Lord, to believe your word, your promises, Lord, and that they would want to place the word of God in their heart and to memorize those verses that they need to, those scriptures that they need to, Lord. Because if something happens and they lose the word, the written word, they'll have it in their heart and it won't be able to be stolen from them. They'll know what the word says. And Father, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the protection that you've afforded each one of us in your word, Lord. And we thank you for that too, Lord. I just praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. You're bringing us into that perfection mode. You're bringing us into that holiness, Lord. And you're stripping away the world from each one of us, Lord. And Father, I just ask it, if there's somebody here that's not doing that, that's not allowing you to do that work in them, Lord, that you would place it in their hearts to get in the Word and abide in Christ. And that abiding in Christ is abiding in the Word, and that's getting in the Word and placing it in your heart. And we thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us, in getting that all of that old apostate religion out of us, Lord, and that old things that have burdened us down over the years, Lord, that you're pulling us into the truth of the gospel. You're trimming us down to that spiritual man and woman that you want us to be, Father. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else want to pray? Okay. Has anybody got any testimonies or praise reports? Man, well, it's going to be quite...
I have a praise report.
Okay, great. Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Okay. Well, I just want to I'm just so thankful to God because he's been encouraging me so much during this trial of my faith for my eyes. And he's just really encouraging me. And I know I can look back just like 3 weeks ago, and I can tell that my faith has just grown tremendously. So I just praise him for that.
Amen. We've got two or three testimonies here locally of people that are still believing for their eyes, and some of us have already gotten that manifestation. All 4 or 5 years ago, I heard David's testimony about the eyeglasses, and how he set them down and never had to pick them back up, and that it was a trial of his faith, but he got through it, and he can see good now. And same thing happened. I said, Lord, if you can do it for David, you can do it for me. And I threw my glasses away, and I picked up my Bible. Of course, you know the Bible has a number 9 font, and it's hard to see for those of us who had reading glasses. And I had glasses where I had to, that just one little space there that I could see real good at, but everything else was blurry. But anyway, I just opened that Bible up. I said, I'm not going to leave this Bible until I can read it, and I just started reading it, and it just, for me, it just automatically opened up and got cleared up for me. That doesn't mean that it was always like that. That devil comes back and he'll try to take that away from me every now and then. And just the other night, you know, I opened my Bible up and it was all blurry, and I kept blinking my eyes trying to get the blurriness out. And finally I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I don't rebuke you and command you to leave my eyes alone, and I command the eyes to clear up in Jesus' name. And then after a little while, I just kept on looking. It just cleared right up. And so that's amen. You know, it's always a trial of our faith, but we just have to hang in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. And I just really appreciate you guys.
Amen. We appreciate you too. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else with a praise report or testimony? Or even if I need prayer. Hey, Judy.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Famika.
Hello, everyone.
God bless you, girl. I hear that, boy. Or girl. I don't know.
You do.
Praise God. I love children. All right. Anybody got anything they want to share?
Michael.
Yes.
I have a praise report. Our little dog just recently hurt her back, so she was obviously in a lot of pain and wouldn't eat. And so yesterday we prayed for her, commanded the spirit of infirmity and others out of her, and she started improving right away. She's not perfect yet, but she eats now, and she's a whole lot better. So praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. Lord can heal our pets, too. All right, anyone else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if you're into this or not, but I have a song that the Lord gave me, Psalm 91, and I thought you might want to make an attempt at playing that song and singing it. What do you think?
I would be honored to hear you sing, Michael. And I'm sure everybody else would too.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings thou shalt trust, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flyeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at my side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the destruction of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High God thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee. They shall keep thee in all of thy ways, lest you dash your foot upon a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because you have set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver you. I will set you on high, because you have known my name. And I shall call and I will answer you, be with you in trouble and deliver and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, and show you my salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. That was good.
A little spontaneous, I suspect.
Who's that talking to me?
Famika, can you mute your phone, please?
Yes, sure.
All right. Unless you got something you want to share.
No, I don't. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Michael. That was good. I may get one of our musicians to check that out and put it to music. That sounds good. That's a good way for all of us to memorize it, just sing it. That's a good one.
My son just wanted to say he really likes your song.
Okay, good. I could tell.
Thank you, Mike. That blessed me, too.
Amen. Anyone else got anything they'd like to share? Is anybody getting any revelations from the Lord? You getting any word from the Lord? What are the words that you're getting from the Lord? And I know every one of you getting a word every day. You're putting that manna in your heart every day.
I'm getting some words from the Lord a lot lately. I've been praying a lot lately.
Awesome.
Just sense the Lord will put in his heart and just examine myself and to search out areas where it may have just been like very faint and I may not have been aware of it. And the Lord is showing me areas where there could be love of money, love of things, and just fear of man. And God just was showing me that comes from the wrong perceptions of God comes in when you don't really fully 100% serve the Lord with your whole heart. You may be sitting in church. You may even have been filled with His Spirit, but other things in life come in. And so just in prayer, I just sensed that the Lord was just showing me that, like, really, if it meant to depart with things of this world, could you serve me in that capacity? Because that's what it really means to not just know Jesus as Savior, but to know Him as the Lord of your life. And I just feel God was challenging me, not really challenging me, but is calling me to a deeper consecration. I sense His desire to consecrate me. Just sanctify His church as a people who are just totally set apart for Him. And it doesn't mean that He was going to be I'm so sorry. It's just me and my son, and I have no place to. My husband's not here, so I can't send him downstairs. But I just sense that the Lord was just saying, you know, if you can't take up your cross and really follow Him, then you're not really worthy of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't like in a condemning kind of way. It just was in a, and I have been asking the Lord for truth, and in prayer He has been really revealing just Himself to me, His love most of all, but also areas that are hindrances to just a deeper walk with the Lord. I don't even want to use the word a deeper walk, because I think when you walk with God, you should always be experiencing receiving revelation knowledge. That's just the life of a born-again saint. And I just felt that God was really showing me areas of my life that were hindrances and how to also test the different spirits, even heightening, you know, my awareness in terms of spiritual discernment. And everything that comes to your mind, you may think it's yourself, but God knows the root of many of those things are from other spirits. They're demons. They talk to us, and you have to go in warfare against them. And if you don't know that, you're not aware of that, you just may think that these are your own thoughts, or you'll just battle year after year thinking that, wow, why am I living such a mediocre or even a defeated Christian life? And with the help of the Lord, I've been able to really just have a real breakthrough in prayer and just really have a stronger sensitivity to other people. And just a humility, just God showing me, stop judging people. You can become so critical, so judgmental, that it's like judging God Himself, because God has to show me I died for people, even the worst sinner. God died for them. And if you're saved and you really know the Lord, you should walk in such a consecrated life, sanctified life, where you are able to minister to fellow saints in terms of being a servant to them in hospitality or any way the Lord is leading you, but you're also able to love sinners, because Jesus loves all people. He loved the common person. He didn't just love kings and rich people. He loved common man. And that's why I was able to see Jesus Christ in many things in life. Even when I leave my house, I could see Jesus Christ. Just even looking at the sky was like all of a sudden just my awareness of God just has been deeper, richer, and fuller.
Praise God. You're getting a handle on it, girl. It's that love that God's placed in our hearts for our fellow brothers. Takes out that criticizing. It takes out that judgmental attitude. And also takes out condemnation for self when you get into that love of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? That's good for me, because that helped me.
Praise the Lord. God. Praise Jesus.
Yeah, that boy's trying to preach a word to you.
He is. He told me the other day, he said, I'm sorry, I don't want to dominate the conversation.
Awesome.
I just want to quickly say that he came in, I was praying, and then I was hitting a place in intercession where I just felt like it was the Lord's tears, and I was just weeping. They were good, refreshing tears. They weren't tears of sadness, but he said, Mama, why are you crying? I said, because I'm praying. I said, well, these are tears unto Jesus. And I said, you know, when mommy wipes your tears, they're not always, you know, I said, these are good tears. And later on, that stayed with him. And he came back and he told me, Mama, I want to cry tears for Jesus. And I said, awesome. Well, I said, one day, you know, perhaps you will, you know. But they were the Lord's tears because I was interceding and just the Lord showing me that my whole struggle is due to a lack of surrender. It's not that things are, the way I view life is like things are so hard, nothing's changing, God is not answering, the devil's fighting. It just seemed like my Christian walk has been such a hard fight, and all of a sudden the Lord was revealing to me it hasn't just been because the enemy is fighting. Yeah, those things have been happening, but really it's been my lack of surrender, and it wasn't in a condemning way. It was out of love where the Lord was like, just stop fighting and then begin to surrender and allow me to pray through you and allow yourself to be sensitive. And God showed me areas where I have walls up, past things that happened in my life, holding grudges that I may not have been aware how I was holding them, just unforgiveness. Those are all spirits. Those are all holding patterns for the strongholds of the devil to stay in your life. And I just began to just cast those things down and cast them out of my imagination and just do warfare and confess before the Lord where I have fallen short and ask for his help and be totally honest with him. And I realized that honesty with Jesus, even God who is so holy, I can tell him something that I know about myself that seems so bad. But in that, I could also ask for help. God, I need help in this area. I don't love like you love. If you help me, I desire to do what's right. And I found that God is a helper. And that's what I saw about Jesus. He's a friend. He's not just a God out there somewhere. He's a God right here, right now. He really is a present help in time of trouble. And that is my testimony. That has become very real to me in my walk with the Lord recently.
Amen for making that's good. Praise God. I pray that everybody's doing that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This last week I've just been really, usually I've been getting up and just getting right in the Word. And this last week, I've just been seeking the Lord first, and just getting quiet and just praying, and just, you know, as He put something in my mind to pray, I just start praying, and I've been doing the same thing that, you know, Fumika was sharing, just getting transparent before the Lord. I mean, He knows what's going on in your life. He just wants us to expose it, or, you know, just to come to Him. And I've been doing basically the same thing. And then I've been asking him for just words of direction, words of encouragement, and he's just been giving me some amazing words that has just really been lifting me up and encouraging me and giving me some direction. And so I've just been really trying to just get quiet and just, you know, just kind of, you know, press in the morning before I, you know, get in the Word or get busy or, you know, whatever it is. And it's really been a blessing for the last week. So I could totally relate with what she shared.
Amen. Yeah, we all need to get into that secret place with the Lord and let Him speak to our spirit. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else that the Lord is working with, that He's giving you words, He's giving you a direction?
Michael, I have something I feel I'm supposed to share. My wife's gonna plug in this headset. She thinks it might work a little better. Just a second.
Yeah, headsets generally work a little bit better.
Okay, how does that sound? Is that okay?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, I would like to read out of 1 Corinthians just a little portion here before I start. Starting at 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I just want to bring to your remembrance that in the book of John, Luke, when the Lord made his first appearance in his hometown, and he's on the Sabbath day, he went as the custom was, and the book of Isaiah was delivered to him, and he turned to Isaiah 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to heal those that are bruised." And he says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the people wondered, it says, at the graciousness that was upon him. And he stood and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And they're all of a sudden stunned, because they realized that the only one that could do that was Messiah. And then Jesus said, "And no prophet is without honor, save in his own country and amongst his own kinsmen." And by the end of that little session there, he said, "I tell you that there were many widows in Zarephath at the time of Elijah, when there was a great famine on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, but Elijah was sent to no one save Sarepta at Zarephath." And he says that there was a lot of lepers in Israel at the time of Naaman the Syrian, but he was not sent except to Naaman. And they went to drag him off, they drug him to the brow of the hill, and were going to throw him off a cliff, and he disappeared amongst them. I believe he probably translated, but he just slipped out between them, and they didn't know what happened to him. But the bottom line is, a prophet is not without honor in his own country. And there's something here that, when we were talking here in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul's words, "No man knows the things of the Spirit, save the Spirit of God, and no man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of man. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." And I believe that what the Lord is speaking to my heart right now, a great vulnerability, and that for the hour that's coming, in the same way that if God is getting this to himself in a most powerful way, which we really believe that he is, that's a word that I have had from the beginning, is that God is going to manifest his glory. The devil's not going to go out with a roar and the Lord go out with a whimper. It's not going to happen. The Lord is Alpha and Omega. He has the last word. But the tendency, as with, you could see with Jesus in his own hometown, is it says in the scripture, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more that way." I believe that most people that I know that are religious people, or people that go to church a lot or do all these things, know the flesh. They start getting back in a crib at Christmas time and put a little donkey in a manger. That's not who Jesus is. The biggest point of his eternal existence, he is the Son of God without beginning of days. Jesus doesn't have a birthday. Maybe after the flesh, yes, but that was not who Jesus was. Without beginning of days, without end of life, it says in Hebrews. Eternal. That the glory that I had with you, Father, before the world began. That's what he was praying in John 17. And the thing that's so critical in this hour, I want to bring to your remembrance John the Beloved, who had leaned on Jesus' breast on the Isle of, when he saw him on the Isle of Patmos. And I just bring to remembrance that scene. He says, "I turned to hear the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. The sound of his voice was like the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead." That's who Jesus was. And John had known Jesus after the flesh. And the tendency with all of us, this is a very vulnerable time because the tendency, the same thing they did with Jesus at his own hometown, we know this man. Is this not the carpenter's son, his brothers and his sisters? Yeah, we know this guy. From whence hath this man these mighty words and these works? And they were offended at him. They were very offended. And how very easy it is for us to know Christ after the flesh, to know our brothers after the flesh, to know ourselves after the flesh. And every one of those things will be an absolute limiting mindset that will cause us to do the same thing the children of Israel did in the wilderness, which with natural eyes, with natural ears, looked at the circumstances and missed the Lord. And the Pharisees, who were the most educated in the things of the word and the law, I think it says, even John the Baptist said, and I knew him not. I think he said that twice. John the Baptist said that, and I think there's four times. And then the people are going, well, the Pharisees are going, well, we know that no prophet comes out of Nazareth, search the scriptures and see, or out of Galilee. And they had all their limiting, they had it all figured out in their mind. But when God is getting ready to manifest his glory, it's going to be critical that in our mindset and the way we view the days we're coming into, one another, ourselves, and the Lord, it's critical that we get rid of the natural mind that does not receive the things of the Spirit of God and will limit utterly what God wants to do. And it would be very easy as God desires and begins to manifest himself in these peculiar vessels that we are, every one of us carrying this treasure in a very earthen vessel. We all get up in the morning, we have to shave, some of us, and the ladies don't, but the men have things and the women have things they got to do, and we look in the mirror and we see the natural part of our life. But the thing is, it says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. I think it's kind of, I had an analogy that I looked at years ago, and that is the concept, I used to pan gold, and a man showed me how he would take this big pan of gold. It was a great big pan. He'd fill it with gravel. I'd fill it up with gravel and sand and all this, and then he'd take this little nugget the size of a pinhead and toss it in there. He'd say, find it. And he showed me how to do it, and I could find it every single time. And sometimes it's like to discern the planting of the Lord in one and not just look at the vessel and know one another after the flesh with the natural mind, with the natural reasoning, is the critical issue between life and death and the way we deal with our brothers and sisters and the way we view ourselves. I believe the scripture has two applications. We look at the one at communion time that says, for this cause many are weak and many are sickly among you and many are dead. Because you do Lord's body. It may be at communion time we need to examine ourselves and make certain that we don't have bitterness toward anybody, unforgiveness, or somebody we need to make it right with before we take communion, or any hidden issues in our own life, because I believe we will eat and drink damnation to ourselves. But I also believe without a doubt that when it says in there, because many are weak and sickly among you, because you don't just... The Lord says that the gifts and callings of God, it says he hath divided these gifts to every man severally, as he will other the Lord, as far as the gifts of the Spirit within them. And it's very critical. Many times this gift of God that lies dormant in the bosom of brother or sister may go to the grave with them, and many are weak and many sickly, because that word of knowledge, they could have set many brothers and sisters free from their prisons because of just the insight of the Lord in their situation. But it never came forth, and weakness and sickness and death comes from it. Or the gifts of healing that lies dormant in the bosom of our brothers and sisters that isn't functioning in the way that it could because we're not discerning the Lord's body and the planting of the Lord in one another. And that can go in all of the gifts of the Spirit and many other manifestations of Christ in one another, because we go, I know him. That's the carpenter's son. He's got four brothers and sisters. That's the guy that's got the big dog and the Toyota truck, you know. We can know one another, but it's time for us to open our eyes by the Spirit and begin to discern Christ in one another, and not know one another after the flesh, but begin to discern the planting of the Lord God has planted, just like gold in a gold pan full of gravel. There's nuggets in there, and that's that eternal thing that God has put within there, the gifts and callings of God that are without repentance that God has planted in your brother and sister, And it's critical that we change and get our mindset dealt with right now. If we're going to, in this hour, not miss the Lord, and through unbelief, just like the people that knew Jesus, they didn't have any natural thought. We know this. We know this guy. Whence hath this man these mighty works? We're familiar with him. We're very familiar. And you can do that with your wife. You can do that with your brother, your sister, your father, and we can even do it with the Lord, that we know him. Yeah, we got the story of the fig tree. And the Lord says, no. The only way you're going to know Christ is by the Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. The only way we're going to discern Christ in one another, and even discern Christ, we limit ourselves the same way when I know my failures. I know my weakness. I know the times that I have to wrestle, I have to bring my thoughts captive. I know how many times I've, stumbled and had to get up again. Whatever. We can know ourselves, but we have got to discern the planting of the Lord in ourselves, in our family, in our wives, in our brethren. And we've got to begin to discern Christ by the Spirit, because the only way we're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ is not with the carnal mind. It's by the, as he says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. The heart, and it's just through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If you want to perceive God, it's going to be with the heart by faith and the breathing of the Holy Spirit upon the written Word, so that it becomes spirit and life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Do you know his words as spirit and life? Or as an intellectual apprehension, a natural understanding. Because God wants us to get out of the realm of the natural mind. It says in the Scripture, they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I would encourage you to read that 1 Corinthians 2, just that whole portion there about the natural man, the natural mind that doesn't understand. It says, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? And no man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, which is in him. And the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. The only way we're going to get out of this limiting mindset and be able to perceive and flow with God in this hour when he does awesome things, when he comes to bear his holy arm before the nations, when he comes to shake all things, when the Lord is going to take these earthen vessels and manifest his glory in a way that the book of Acts never knew. And he wants to use natural people, and there are going to be an awful lot of people. I'm just here to tell you, whether you like it or not, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be offended when God uses these natural vessels, when God does mighty things, the men of wisdom, the men, but hey, wait a minute, how can this man, whence hath this man these words? He's being unlearned. How can he be? But the Spirit can teach the real learning. It's not the things that you learn at a Bible school. It's not the things by intellectual apprehension. It's the revelation of the Holy Ghost that a man knows God. It's the revelation of the Holy Ghost that a man's, the Word of God becomes the words of life. As Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Think of his word, spirit and life. You can't know them except by the revelation of the Spirit. And Jesus opened their understanding so they could understand the Scriptures. What did he do? Quicken their spirit of God within. The Holy Spirit breathed upon them. They saw by revelation what they could never understand with their carnal mind. And so it is in this hour. God is wanting to take us out of, I believe a brother said one time, he said, I believe the church right now is living on crackers, and God wants to set a feast before them. They've got some dry bread they're feasting on, but God wants to set a feast before them. He wants to take this word and quicken it, that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that his words are quickened within us, and we see things by revelation. We see this, as Paul cried out, he says, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and gave him to be head over all things under the body, which is over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God wants to open our understanding with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants to quicken the word of God to us so it's no more letter, so that we don't know Christ anymore after the flesh. We don't know our brother after the flesh. We begin to see the planting of the Lord in one another and to begin to discern by the Spirit the gift of God and to draw that thing out, that planting of the Lord, and give place. We don't need to give place to our brother's flesh. We need to have, as it was, love that covers a multitude of sins. That's dealing with the natural vessel. But we also need the faith of Christ, the discernment of the Spirit, to discern the planting of the Lord in one another, and to give place to that which is holy, which God has planted there, which is eternal. Because that gift of God, if he's made that brother an eye, you want to hear from him about seeing. If he's made him an ear, you want to hear from him about hearing. And that part that God's given him, that unique perspective that only the eye has, only the ear has. A mouth is saying, proclaim the gospel. The feet say, go into all the world. The hand says, reach out and touch your neighbor. The heart says, feel the burden of the Lord. God wants every one of us to begin to discern Christ in one another, to begin to draw out the gift of God, and to not be surprised when God takes and pours forth his glory through earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God is getting ready to do awesome things, and we can very well hinder it in our own life, in our brother's life, and we can very much have a natural mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ like the whole church does. They know him after the flesh. They're out there celebrating his birthday. Give him a little birthday present at Christmas time. I'm telling you what, brothers, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who humbles himself to look on the heavens and the earth, is without beginning of days, without end of life. One more picture of Jesus, and I saw heaven opened, and I saw a white horse, and behold, he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He has a name written that no man knows but he himself. He is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ. And we need a revelation of Jesus by the Spirit, and it'll bring a whole new perspective, because if we're still looking for him at Christmas time, we're missing him completely. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega. He says, he's put his right hand on John when he fell at his feet as a dead man and said, fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and behold, I have the keys of death and hell. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the keys of hell and death. He's the first word, the last word. And brethren, it's time for us, by the grace of God, to come out of the carnal mind, come out of the natural man, the natural mind, which will not receive the things of the Spirit, and to come into the Holy Spirit of God, where we can see things by the Spirit, where they're quickened, illuminated. And we'll begin to draw out the gift of God in one another. And when our brothers start manifesting the glory of God and the gift of Christ in a powerful way, we won't be offended. We know that guy. What's he doing? I know him. I know that guy's got a big old garden. He lives up on the hill. I know him. No, if you don't know Christ in one another, you don't know him. It's a unique and wonderful thing that God has placed his treasure within each one of us, that planting of the Lord, the gift of Christ, the gifts and callings of his eternal kingdom. He's placed them within us, and we need to honor that and give place to that, the planting of the Lord in one another, and we're going to begin to see the glory of God revealed, and then instead of hindering, we'll be a great asset and begin to encourage our brothers and draw out. Instead of seeing our brothers as a bonehead, we'll say, this is a mighty man of valor, praise God. Or this sister, oh, I know her. No, this is a gracious woman of God. And begin to speak. speak that life into one another, draw out that the gift of Christ in one another, and strengthen that part which is Christ's treasure, and not to be offended or turned aside or just to look at them after the flesh, but to begin to draw out the gift of God in one another, because it's critical that the way of the Lord is prepared in our hearts and in our minds to receive what God is going to do in this hour, because very easily it could come and pass us by, just like the Pharisees, and they knew him not. Even John the Baptist said, and I knew him not. Only he that said to me that upon whom you see the Spirit descending as a dove, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and I knew him not. He couldn't see him. You can't see Jesus. You can see him, natural Jesus. You see him in the church. They have this image of Jesus. That ain't who he is. They're in for a shock. Because who Jesus is, I mean, even John, who when he writes in the book of John, he says, and I suppose that if all the things that should be written, the world could not contain the books that should be written. We need a revelation of this Jesus who humbles himself to look on the heavens of the earth, who stretched forth the heavens like a curtain and as a vesture. He'll gather them up and cast them aside. Who with his word, the Omega, will speak, and the universe is going to melt with a fervent heat. But he's created a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So brethren, prepare your hearts, because the Lord's coming. And unless we see by the Spirit, we'll miss him just like they did in his day.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. That was awesome. As always, that was good. I don't know. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I think I got a name for that one. I say discerning the planting of the Lord.
Run that by me again, Chad.
I just said I got a name for that one, what Brother Michael just shared.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just thought of discerning the planting of the Lord, if you feel, you know, impressed to put that on the site again. That, I think that'd really be a blessing.
Say, concerning the planting of the Lord?
Discerning, yeah, discerning the planting of the Lord. Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, he had a couple places in there that were... we lost him there, but that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and put it on. It says something that's needed. What I thought about, there's no man after the flesh, but I'll put that up. Either one.
Well, yeah, that would work real good, too. Absolutely. I wonder if, even though it was breaking up on here, sometimes it might come through okay on the recording. Is that the case, or maybe not?
Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. We'll just have to see. Even if it does, you can get the gist of everything that what he's saying anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you.
You know, Michael Montana, I don't know how you get so much in so little of time, but you do. It takes me a while to get everything I want said, but you get it all said in a little while, and that's good. You're a Reader's Digest preacher. And that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comments about what Michael just shared? You know, Tim, in the past have always told us to always judge no man after the flesh and just judge him by the Spirit, which is what Michael was talking about. All of us have Jesus in us. We can all learn from each other. Even the most basic Christian has something to share if he loves the Lord, because he has something that he has you may not have. And that's why we ought to love one another by the Spirit and not by that flesh. Tim, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I just, the Lord is serious, and I'm seeing where even when I judge in my thoughts, I've been turned over to the tormentors because it's basically unforgiveness. And so he's just really been teaching me to just, really love from the heart and love everybody. And they don't know what they do because they're just a vessel that's being influenced, and there's a spirit on them, there's a demon on them, or, whatever it is that's skewing their thoughts, skewing their actions, putting them in fear. And, you know, whatever the situation is, and we don't know their background. We don't know what they came up from. And so we just, you know, we try to justify, you know, why we're judging or, you know, it just comes down to it's judgment. And it's unforgiveness and it's you know, and, but, yeah, he's just been really working on me that even thoughts, you know, God knows your thoughts and you gotta cast those things down or you're gonna be turned over and he'll give you grace for a while. But, you know, when that grace is up, I mean, he turned you over and, all of a sudden things aren't making, you know, sense to you and your prayers aren't being answered and you've got confusion or, you know, whatever's going on. And then, you got to see God behind it and he'll get you to that point where, you know, you see that, yeah, I was judging. I was, you know, I was coming against, you know, I was thinking this about somebody or whatever it is. So, so it's just, it's really just keeping your thoughts in tune along with your what comes out of your mouth. So that's what I like to add.
Amen. Yeah. That's how we got to look at each other. Michael, I wasn't being critical a while ago. I was just admiring how the Lord had used you in the past to get a lot said in just a short time that you say it, and it's just I've always admired that the way the Lord uses you in those in these talks that you give.
Well, you know the what do we have that we didn't first receive from God? And it's just like this, you know, we all have the planting of the Lord within us, and every single person has a gift, and in that thing, they can flow. You know, if you have a brother that's got the word of wisdom or a brother that's an evangelist. I just marvel at that. And there's times I've done some evangelism, but I don't have that gifting and that calling. And I've just quit kicking and decided to just flow with what works with me. And, but I share by burden what's in my, what I feel a burden of the Lord. And that's the way I come from is because sometimes I just feel God wants to for us to prepare the way that he's going to come in a people, but we got to be ready for it by having a discerning by the Spirit and being illuminated by the Spirit, or we'll miss it just as quickly as the Pharisees did.
Amen.
Wow, that's
so
true. That's really humbling. Amen.
Amen.
Very, very humbling. And what you said about him sharing it in a short amount of time, I didn't pick up any criticism in that at all. You said exactly what I wouldn't have said it because I haven't been here long enough to know that he does that quite a bit. But yeah, he did share a whole lot, and it was very convicting in a good way. Like, don't think that you know the Lord. I was praying recently for some friends of mine that I've known for about 12 years, and that's what God was put in my heart. Don't judge, and it was so strong. Don't judge. And later on, the next day, I was like, went back in prayer, and God was revealing to me that judgment also means to think that you know. It doesn't just mean a past judgment. It means to think that you know. And so what you said really confirmed something to my heart, like to get to a place where you think you know God and so much about God and people. There are things that only the Spirit can reveal, and everything you said really, really blessed me. Like, it's very true to not look at one another through eyes, fleshly eyes, because you'll only see the corruption when you look through the eyes of the flesh, because whatever you sow to the flesh, it only reaps corruption. And so, and it does behoove us to just look at things through the eyes of Jesus, the Spirit, and through pure eyes, and allow ourselves to first be purified, because we can't remove anything, a small little mote from somebody's eyes, and we ourselves may have a beam in our eye. And if the case is that we don't have a big beam in our eye, we should be able to give light to other people and help other people to be built up in the things of God. So what you said, I don't know, I don't have words for it. This was really, I don't know, just really godly.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, Brother Michael?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, there's nothing you could do to offend me, brother. I just wanted to let you know that my wife wanted me to bring that to your point. Because it's true. I know your heart, brother. So I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else want to share something? Maybe a comment on what we've been talking about here, about judging one another through the eyes of the flesh, or judging one another as Jesus judged us, or any other thing as far as that goes.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
I can relate to those things happening to me in both instances, you know, where I've been judgmental, and other times where I've been able to see Christ coming out of people. And receiving it, especially, you know, if you're familiar with them as far as family members and all that, that's basically what I've had to watch out for, I know. Because I still have my daughter and her husband living here. They've been here for 3 months, and I've been able to see, at times, I've been able to see Christ moving in their lives and even their speaking, and I get blessed by it. And then there's other times where I deal with, have to, you know, recognize that I'm in the flesh and I'm looking at them in the wrong way, you know. And that kind of brings me to where, you know, the scripture that says the two-edged sword. And I was thinking about how sometimes when there's a battle going on in the spirit, when there's such disagreements or whatever in this house, I noticed that sword, you know, if there's two people there being involved and stuff, or even more like children, because I have the children here. But it's like that two-edged sword. In one hand, it's working on one person at the same time as it's working on another. You know, it's kind of like one swipe from the Lord, and He's got us both covered, whether it's in the good or the bad. You know what I'm saying? If we're open to hear, one swipe from Him, you know, His truth comes forth, and it, if we're willing to hear from Him, He'll be able to deal with our hearts.
Amen.
You know? But I can relate to all this, and it's a blessing to hear it all. Lord is still working on me with tribulations and trials, and because, well, you know, the family's here, and there's a lot that has to be learned on all of us to be able to love one another the way that we need to, with the children as well. So that's
Amen.
Where I've been.
Amen. So thank you for sharing, girl.
Amen.
Anyone else? I'd kind of like to relate something that has happened to me this past week. And my grandson, Blake, y'all have heard me talk about Blake. He'd been in and out of jail and had a problem with drugs, and he's just had a spirit of rejection and all his life, and he's always seeking favor of man, and when he's done that, he's gotten in trouble a lot. Well, he was thrown in jail a couple of weeks, about a week before Christmas or so, maybe a couple of weeks, I don't remember. But anyway, and he always thought that we'd get him out before Christmas, so he'd spend Christmas with the family. But the Lord told me not to get him out, just to leave him in there. And so that happened. He wrote a letter to my wife, his Mimi, and he was very disappointed. He was discouraged and depressed that nobody had bailed him out. Nobody had written him a letter, you know, or anything like that. What happened when he got in jail? They got him. They picked him up for one thing, and found out he had a warrant against him. So they threw him in the county jail. He had a warrant on him for his arrest for non-appearing at a trial that he was supposed to go to, and that's been his deal. He can't take care of business. He hadn't been able to take care of business. But anyway, they threw him in jail, and when he got in jail, he was high on drugs at the time.
and he got in an altercation, so they threw him in the hole. Well, when you're thrown in the hole in the county jail, you might get to eat and you might not, just whatever they feel like doing. And you're by yourself, you're in solitary confinement, and you have time to think. Well, I took his Bible up there the second day he was there and asked the officer to see that he gets it. Well, that never happened. They never did get it to him. But that's okay. He was down there, and the only way that he could converse with people was through a little metal hole that they had there. And my daughter had called up there and asked one of the guards, and it was a lady guard, if she wouldn't go down there and ask Blake, if we got him out, would he go to rehab? She had been online and searching out a faith-based rehab that was fairly close, and there was one pretty close. It was up in the hills over around Batesville, and he was in Conway. But anyway, this was a couple of days after Christmas, and he started crying. He said, yes, I'd do anything to get out of this thing, you know, of course. And so she came back and she told Michelle, we went to work trying to find him a place. We found a place over there up in the hills, central Arkansas, up in the hills north of Little Rock, north of Conway, I guess. But anyway, they would take him January the 10th, or they would interview him to see if they'd take him January the 10th. And so I told my daughter, I said, well, go ahead and try to find a bail bondsman, and we'll get him out the 10th. I'll get him out the day of the 10th when he has to go interview with him. And so anyway, she got to looking around, and she couldn't find anybody. Nobody was around. It was holidays, you know, and they're not going to – a lot of them didn't answer the – most of them didn't answer the phone. So she called back up to the jail and asked if they knew of anybody that would that was a bail bondsman that she could call that would answer the phone. And this lady said, yeah, I know this guy. And so she called him, and this guy listened to her, and she told him that we had been looking for this place, New Beginnings, and wanted to get Blake in it. And would he help us bail her out? And he said, well, yeah. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to go up there and talk with him and see how his head is. And so this man, that unbeknownst to us, he was a Christian, and he was an ex-homicide detective, retired homicide detective that had become a bail bondsman to help these young men best he could. And so he went up there, and he interviewed Blake, and lo and behold, he went ahead and bailed him out on his own, and the Lord told him to bail him out. So he bailed him out, and he took him with him. He took him home with him. He spent the night with this guy, took him by McDonald's, took him home, cleaned him up, brought him, contacted New Beginnings up there, and they said that, yes, that they would definitely. Now, come to find out, this guy goes to church at the same place that this pastor does. This pastor is New Beginnings Church up there. And so they know one another. And so we've got an end that way. And this is free. All of this is free. It's a year-long program. But here's the kicker. When he got out, the guy called his brother. He allowed him to call his brother. Well, that might be good, and it might not be good, because his brother's into, you know, a little bit of drug here and there too. Knows the same people that Blake does. But anyway, that's what's going through my mind, you know. Anyway, Blake gets to his brother's house, and he calls me, and I'm up here in Tennessee, and I just blast him. I said, Blake, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Get away from all of those people that have hindered you in the past, and you need to come over to Mimi's and stay with her and let her watch, you know, until the time to go, you know, and all this stuff. You know what goes through our minds. But he's trying to tell me that, you know, Christ has really made an impact in his life while he was sitting there in that jail, and all I can do is think in the flesh, you know, his boy's going to get out there, he's going to mess up, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. Instead of going to the Lord what I should have done. I'm speaking to him through the flesh. Well, I hadn't been able to talk to him since then, but the Lord really has tormented me, I can tell you that. But anyway, I finally asked the Lord if Blake was going to go into the rehab. He told me, yes, he was. So that's what I should have done all along. And then I would have been resting in that knowledge that God's going to handle it. But in fact, what I did was jump off into the flesh right away. And that's what we do to people who are closest to us. We have to be very careful how we speak to people, even in our own families, because we're so familiar with them in the flesh. We need to look at the spiritual aspect. If I'd been looking at the spiritual Blake instead of the fleshly Blake, I would have seen that God was doing a work in the boy. And would have, because the Lord had told me just a few days earlier that yes, he was going to, Blake was going to turn to him with all his heart this year. I asked him point blank, Lord, is Blake going to turn to you with all his heart to you? Are you going to turn him to you this year with all his heart? He told me, yes, he was. And so I should have taken that and rested in it, but no, that old flesh has got to come out and work on us. And that enemy will do a work on you. But, you know, God, in all his grace and his mercy, he understands how we are at times. And Blake is staying with a family away from his friends. That's what he's doing. He's hiding out away from his friends, keeping away from them so that he doesn't mess up. His sister took him over there, and they're keeping him over there for a while. His friends know where my wife lives, our house is there in Arkansas, and they would just go down there and get him, you know. But he's using his head. He's listening to the Spirit. And so I just praise God for this teaching tonight. The Lord has shown me through this past week how I should be looking at even my family members through the Spirit. You know, we have trouble with people believing the truth of the gospel a lot of times. They like to listen to that religion that tickles our ears, and we need to be weak to the weak. And just pray for them. You pray for them. That's the most powerful thing in the world. That's the best thing you can do, is pray for them. When you pray for them, like I've been praying for Blake for these last 21 years, then that fruit is going, that boy, that man is going to bear fruit. Because God's word is true, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and we understand that, we believe it, we have the faith. We only have faith because God gives it to us. But when he gives it to us, we got to use it, right? Amen. And we act on that faith. Every time I see Blake, he was growing up, I said, "There he is, that preacher man. God told me he was going to preach for." And he was, and he is. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to go into this rehab. He's going to come out of that rehab a year later. They keep him in there. It's a boot camp type of a deal, but it's faith-based. And from what I understand, it's a real good one. They only have 15 guys in there, 15 young men in there at a time, and they have a whole staff of people in there to watch them. They go to Bible study. Don't know what, you know, it's full gospel. I do know that. And so he's going to be learning. He's going to be learning about the Lord, and he's also going to learn a trade while he's in there, get his GED, and all of these things. And I praise God for it. So I've learned a lesson this week about looking at somebody even in the flesh that you've known all your life, and how we ought to look at them in the Spirit. Amen? All right, anybody else?
Thanks for sharing, Michael. That blessed me.
Amen. I long for the day when that boy comes out here with me. I know what's going to happen. Praise God. Okay, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Or it's quiet. Or it's not.
Now, Michael, when you're sharing, as far as with Blake, I mean, I can totally relate to that. Raising, I had an adopted son, and, it was... Basically, he fell into some rebellion and I was trying to, strong arm him and that, and the more I did that, the more he just rebelled. And when I finally took it just to prayer and got into the rest and just started seeking the Lord as far as in direction. He gave me several words, and then he gave me a confirmation through somebody else as far as a prodigal son. And I just kept praying for him and seeking and that. And then, one day he gave me a word, and it was basically time to move out. And he kept guiding me. Because I provided he wanted to get married. I allowed him to get married, and I fixed up our basement for him to move in. And I just thought it'd be just give him a year, just kind of work and get on their feet and save up some money and that. And his job just started to dwindle to where he was just working one day a week, and all he wanted to do was sit down there and play games, and he wasn't looking for another job. And then the Lord would give me a word about, it was my television that was down there, and he was just sitting there, and the Lord gave me a word about removing the stumbling block. And so I took the television, I gave it away, and I said, you need to go out and find a job. And all that just launched him, and, it was a very difficult time. But I just kept praying and seeking the Lord. The Lord kept guiding me as far as, what to do. And finally it got to the day, and I had to, it was very difficult. But I said, it's time that you guys need to move out. And, they had a pet dog, and there was like nowhere that would take a dog. And they were looking to move, like it was really far away, and they found the place that would take pets. And I just sought the Lord, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, you can open up a door. And I checked Craigslist that morning, and something opened like 15 minutes away. And they went, looked at it, everything came together. I mean, the Lord just prepared a place, but I had to be in the rest, and I kept trying to get into my flesh and get stirred up and stuff like that, and I just had to keep, just draw back and just take it to the Lord, because every time I got involved, I would just mess things up. But when I saw that, I would just take it to prayer and be led of Him and just, not get into the flesh. And there was a spiritual battle going on during this whole time, because with that rebellion comes witchcraft and Jezebel, and there was a lot of, just mind control spirits and stuff that I was dealing with during the time. And I just had to let it go. But the thing was, it was the best thing for him, because it really put him in a situation where he had to go out and find a good job. Because now he had rent and utilities and a lot of responsibilities and a new wife and all these different things. And I just kept praying for him. Trish and I just kept, praying. And we were kind of separated for a while. And then, the Lord just opened up the door. And they slowly started to, just come back. There was just little steps. And it was awesome, because over the holidays he was off of work, and I mean, he's in a situation now where he's working 7 days a week at this job, and all he does is work, and he's really seeing what life is about. But every time he gets a little bit ahead with his money, the car breaks or something happens, and we hear these stories, and he's really, the Lord is just kind of hanging him in there. But over the holidays he came over to the house, and it was pretty awesome, because it was just my two sons and my son's wife and myself were sitting at the table, and he really started opening up, and he was really saying, I really messed up, and I see where I had it really good here, and if I was here working where I'm working now, I could be saving up a lot of money. And it was kind of cool, because the Lord was just showing me that you know, in a way he didn't, you know, he was just coming out, and it was sort of a repentance, and it was sort of a thing, but he was really saying how, you know, how stupid he was, you know, as far as at that juncture, in a roundabout way. But it was kind of neat on my part, because it was very difficult, you know, as far as what I had to do. And but then I, you know, I just was being guided by the Lord. I saw the Lord in the whole thing, and then the Lord has brought that whole thing back, where, I mean, we've got a better relationship now than, you know, we've had. So it's you know, I give him the glory. He's starting to come to fellowship. He's, you know, praising, you know, he plays guitar. He's been praising and worshiping, you know, the Lord, and it's been really awesome. So I can kind of relate with, you know, what you went through with, you know, with Blake, and, you know, I kind of went through the same thing with my son. So I just thought I'd share that.
Amen. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to separate the two when you're that close to them. And that's what happened to Jesus when he went back to his hometown. Eh? Like Michael was talking about, I said, that's old Jesus. My goodness, I know him. He can't be no Messiah. Good gracious. I know him. That's old Joseph's boy. That's Joseph's boy. And without looking at the spiritual man, you're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right. Nobody got anything they'd like to share? A testimony, a praise report? Thank you, Tim. Anything like that? You know, we're in the last chapters of the Real Good News in our local Bible study here, and it's really awesome when you get these studies and you go through them with your Bible in hand, and you understand. And you see these little nuggets. Every time you read these Bible studies, you get something else out of them every time. And that's because God is opening up his word to us more and more, and we see those little nuggets, and we don't skip over them anymore. We kind of, oh, man, look at there, you know. And we see some things in there that we hadn't seen before. Like in this Bible study here, this is chapter 22 is safety in Zion. And of course, Zion represents abiding in the presence of the Lord. That's what spiritually it's speaking, that Mount Zion represents. You know, David was a type of Jesus. And God's calling his people to come out of Babylon and to return to Zion. He said, come to back to the way it was, return to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What was the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? 1 John 2:24, it says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Well, what was that? What did we hear from the beginning? Well, that's what Jesus preached. That's what the apostles preached. That's what's in the Word of God, the New Testament. So if you abide in Christ, then that which you heard from the beginning is going to abide in you. And if you're going to abide in that place of safety in the days to come, and that's in the name of Jesus, then what we heard from the beginning has to be that teaching that we look at, our doctrine, our renewed mind, doesn't it? How are you going to walk as Jesus walked unless you agree with the doctrine that God gave us in his word? God's calling us to come back into agreement with Jesus in order to renew our mind. Ain't but one way to do that. Let's get in the word. He said, be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, listen, there ain't no curse on a person who's walking in that good, acceptable, perfect will of God, is there? You can't be attacked by the beast if you're walking in the perfect will of God. And there ain't but one way to do that, and that's to get into the Word. God's calling us to be separated from the world. He's calling us to be separated from our flesh. He's calling us to be that peculiar people, isn't he? Deuteronomy 14:2 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. He's drawing us back into that tower, into that Zion, the way it was under King David. And you ain't going to be able to make, you're not going to make it with those golden calves that we've learned about in religiosity. You can't abide in that name. That's the golden calf out there that they pulled up out there, the one they called Jehovah. That wasn't a false god. The Bible says that you don't abide in him unless you walk as he walked. You get that? He says, let everyone who says that they abide in him walk as Jesus walked. And how did Jesus walk? Well, he tells us in the Word of God. Now, one way to get that, and that's to get in the Word of God. Even the disciples, you know, they say, well, the disciples were special because they knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. Well, you can walk with Jesus too. The Word is Jesus. You get in that Word and you'll be walking right with him. Act 14 and 15 says, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? This is the disciples talking. He said, we also are men of like passions with you and bring you good tidings that you should turn from these vain things unto a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. You know, those disciples just believed what Jesus told them, didn't he? God's grace worked with them because they did believe those promises. His word went into them, and it recreated the life of Christ in each one of them. And that's what we need. Because God's grace is powerful. And that grace only comes when you have the faith in the promises of God. And grace comes when you have not recreated Christianity in your own likeness and according to your own will. We have to do what the Word says, not what we think it says or somebody told you it said. Abiding in Zion represents all those awesome, wonderful provisions of all of God's promises. That's a dominion over our enemies. That's a place of safety. That's healing. That's all of those things that God's given us. You know, there's people in the days that are coming who are going to escape the coming beast kingdom. They're not going to be troubled by it because they're going to be resting in Jesus. A lot of people think they're going to be zapped out of here. That ain't going to happen, is it? Before all this terrible things happen, ain't going to happen. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there ain't no new thing under the sun. Every time a beast kingdom came, God's people did not escape it. The only ones who did escape it were the holy ones, right? Psalms 125 tells us what it is to abide in Zion. First verse says, they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. In other words, that's a place of safety where they trust in the Lord. There's not near enough Christians who walk by faith in the Lord. Matthew 21 and 22 says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Man, that's an awesome gift God's given us. You hear, I tell you what, I've seen miracles. We could sit here all night long, and I could tell you about the miracles that I've seen, that God just worked through people that I've known and through me myself. Because we believe what the Word says. We saw God do it. We believed it. We saw it where it said it in the Word. We put it in there in our hearts, and we went out and we utilized it as the Spirit led. When you do it as the Spirit led, you're going to see a lot of success. Psalms 125 and 2 says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forevermore. How many of you like the Lord to be around you? Amen. Psalm 34 and 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. How many of you want an angel round about you all the time protecting you? One of them great big ones, too. Psalms 125 and 3 says, For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Now that scepter, that's the authority of the beast kingdom. That ain't going to rest on the righteous. And that's the people who are walking with the Lord through faith. And that faith is given by the Lord. Their faith is in the Lord. They believe he took away their sin. They believe he gave them that life through reconciliation. They believe that they ain't living no more. It's Christ that lives in them. That revelation of faith, which is the gospel that lives in them, that causes God to call them his child, doesn't it? And to call them righteous. They are counted righteous in God's eyes because they believe what the word of God says. That's the gospel. And the Lord's going to bring it to pass. He's going to back up everything they do. And the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. So righteousness, if you can see this, delivereth from death. That's at the hands of the beast and the harlot. And at the hands of all of this end time society, corrupt society, that's going to hate the Christians with a passion. Matthew 24:9 says, when Jesus said, he said, then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. He meant it. And it's coming pretty quick right now. I don't know if y'all can tell or not, but it's coming. I mean, that door is fixing to shut. Psalms 125:3 said, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, that the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good. And God's going to bring that part to pass. And to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon Israel. I just got sidetracked. Hang on just a second. Okay. I'm sorry. Peace be upon Israel. And over in Galatians 6:16, that Israel, it says the Israel of God. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And that's the people who were grafted in the olive tree that are called all Israel. How come they're called all Israel? Because they have faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the only Israelites in the New Testament, because that's what the word says. Psalms 125 is pretty plain about what it is to dwell in Zion. And over in Psalm 15, let's take a look at that. Anybody got any comments while I'm sitting here looking up Psalms? Psalm 15:1, Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, what's the holy hill? That's Zion. Remember, we've been talking about that. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth him that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. 24:3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood and hath not sworn deceitfully? The overwhelming majority of Christianity has done the same thing as the overwhelming majority of Judaism. They've lifted up their souls to falsehood. And why would anybody accept anybody's word for anything when you've got this new covenant to read and study? And you read and study it, you'll come into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God's called us to do, isn't it? And those who add to or take away from the word,
as it says in Revelation 22 and 18, they're under a curse. He says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Listen, they've already changed the covenant, and they caused God's people to depart from the very thing that's going to protect them in the days to come. But, you know, when things start shaking around you, you know what's going to happen. They're going to find out there ain't going to be no safety outside of abiding in the Word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. They're going to be running to those who have the light and going to be asking, what do we do? What do we do? And you're going to be able to tell them, well, first thing you need to do is repent of your evil ways, and then let's go into the Word and see what the God says and quit listening to those apostate preachers. Where's your preacher now? He done took off. He's looking for a hole to crawl in, trying to find a place of safety from the flesh. Those people are deceived. Matthew, most of those preachers want the flesh. They want your flesh to live. They like to tickle your ear, so you put that money in that box. God says, and that's who we have to listen to, let's let our flesh be the burnt offering. Put that flesh on the altar. That old beastly life got to be sacrificed. In Matthew 16 and 25, it says, for whosoever would save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10 and 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. If you don't lose your life, you ain't gonna get your life. And those people who love the worldly things in this life, they're not gonna live in the next life. In heaven, you can't bear fruit with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You have to make up your mind now what you're going to do. Got to make up your mind. Are you going to be a kingdom heir, or are you going to be a worldly heir? There's only two types of men in the world. That's the Antichrist and the Christ. Are you going to be Christ-like? Are you going to be anti-Christ-like? That's pretty simple doctrine, isn't it? That's pretty simple gospel. And it's pretty blunt, too. If we love the world more than we love God, don't expect to bear any fruit. And if you don't bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, you ain't going to heaven. I don't care what you think, what your preacher said. That's just the way the Word is. Well, I believe I'm going to leave off right now and see if y'all have got any comments you'd like to make. By the way, the flesh man, you know, there's the flesh man and there's the spiritual man. That flesh man was the firstborn, wasn't he? And that second, and that spiritual man was the secondborn. That's us. That's the Gentiles. That's us. And then comes the remnant out of Israel. That's the last 3.5 years. God's going to bring them in. But first, he's going to shake the world out from under his people. A lot of people going to lose their lives for people's sake. We're going to have, like Michael Montana was talking about a while ago, we're going to have that discernment. We're going to have that, be walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit in order to help these people. If you're being led by the Spirit, you'll know immediately who to talk to and who not to talk to. And so we have to get close to God in order to do that. We've been talking in the past about these revivals and how they sought the Lord diligently. And we need to do the same thing. These are the days we're in now. We're fixing to come into this thing. It looks like, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen. I believe we're within just a few short months of it. Don't know when, but we're close. I mean, I've seen economist after economist talking about the decline of the dollar, and it's fixing to go down the tubes. And when it does, what you going to do? Bank's not going to let you have any money. They're going to take all the money.
So we can't. We got to close today. It's a holiday, and that 6 months later, they're still closed. And you can't get your money. Ain't going to be no Social Security check for you that are living off Social Security. Ain't going to be none of that. You're going to have to abide in Christ. You're going to have to get that word out, and you're going to say, hey, Jesus, help. And that's the way it's going to be. But you're going to have to be serious about it. God's making a good people here. And for one reason, for those that have listened to the bad doctrines out there that have tickled their ears and made them feel like that they're going to heaven while they're still sinning living, going to the flesh pots all the time without believing the word of God. Anyway, boy, I'd run off some people, hadn't I? That's okay. Praise God. How many of you believe what I just got through telling you?
Man.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
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 Amen. We need to get closer to Jesus, don't we?
We all need to burn up.
Amen. That's right.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I got a little bit I feel like the Lord wants me to share, and which fits right in with what you were just talking about, you know, the shaking that the Lord is bringing and assisting and that kind of thing. I don't know if you've heard of this yet or not, but Charity and I heard about this from a friend of ours in Vancouver, Washington, and we were visiting with her back in November, and it's some of the newer IRS regulations that have come out. I know some of these you know about already, but I'm just gonna read through these real quick because it's a real eye opener for those that aren't aware of some of these things and the 501c3 tax exempt those institutions that are linked with that and are a part of that. I can see where the Lord is quickly here bringing a separation, and so I'm just going to read through this list. I know some of you know already, but I think it fits right in with what you're sharing. So it says, this is a notice here. It's just like calling all Christians. The following items are among other requirements taken from Department of the Treasury Internal Revenue Service publication, and it lists a bunch of numbers. It says these are among a larger body of 501c3 federal rules imposed on churches and other religious bodies. It says they must, number one, be incorporated. Number two, have a recognized creed, an IRS-approved worship form. Number three, have IRS-approved code of doctrine. Number four, have ordained ministers educated in state-accredited colleges. Number five, be neutral on political issues. Number six, have tax-exempt status issued by IRS. Number seven, must answer to IRS as to daily church activity. Number eight, the IRS must be privy to all financial transactions of the church. Number nine, pastor must supply names of all donors, make books and records available. Number 10, may use only IRS-approved fundraising methods. Number 11, pastor will be called to account over any stand taken against the tax system. Number 12, church must advocate and support racial integration. Number 13, now this one, you know, when I saw this one, I thought, you know, if there's anyone out there in the church still asleep, any pastor still asleep or whatever, if this doesn't wake them up, then, I don't know if it'll just take a real miracle, too. But number 13 says, may not engage in activities opposing pornography. Number 14, may not support legislation saying children belong to parents rather than the state. Number 15, may not form a political action committee or support legislation opposing lotteries and gambling activity. Number 16, may not oppose the public school system. Number 17, may not publicly declare we are to obey God rather than the government. So I thought, you know, talking about the shaking that the Lord's bringing, I was thinking of, you know, the churches, the apostate church, the religious institutions is going to be a place where, eventually here there won't be any Holy Spirit-filled Christians in there. It'll be totally apostate and reprobate, and I can see where the Lord is really drawing, you know, drawing the line more and more. So anyway, I just felt led to share that a little bit. It might be a...
Is that law now, Chad?
Yeah, that's a list of IRS regulations for anyone that has tax exempt status. That's just part of the list.
Well, didn't that have to go through Congress in order for them to approve it first?
I believe so, yes.
So they already have approved it?
Yes. As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Well, I never heard anything like that, but yeah, well, it's faith-based is not really faith-based. It's state-based, right?
Hey, well, that's just it. And it really didn't surprise me to see this, but still, you know, when you're reading a few of these on here, it's like, you know, how many really, I mean, so many people going there and doing the tax exempt thing, they don't even know what they're, you know, a part of. And so, but as, you know, I know as the Lord brings these things to light, he's making a separation, and he's saying, come out from among them and be separate. And to me, this is just, you know, the Lord just turned up the volume on the trumpet blast a little bit more here, so.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
No, you go right ahead, Chad.
Well, I was going to say you can check into that and verify it, you know, or whatever if you want. As far as I know, it's it says it's federal rules imposed on churches and other religious bodies. So I'm, you know, it looks like it's already been passed into law. So
I'm surprised that evangelicals haven't gotten a hold of that and gone silly with it.
Well, some of them are. They're just kind of. You know, I guess it's some things like this are not as well known because it's, you know, we know the propaganda, government-controlled media wouldn't put anything like that on there. There have been a lot of them that are coming out of that now. Some of them, I shouldn't say a lot of them, but there are some that are waking up and they're coming out from that and they're calling to others to see this for what it is and, you know, say they need to come out of that too, so... But The Lord knows those who are His, and you know He's using this to do more sifting. So,
amen. Yeah, that's the Lord placing it in their hearts to clamp down on the apostate religion.
Yeah, that's right.
Dad, did you say that these were new rules?
It's part of a list of regulations that have come out more recently. And some of them, I know most people, if not everybody here knows about, you know, like the church has to be incorporated. If they're going to have a tax-exempt status, they have to, you know, have a contract with the state. But some of these on here, you know, like may not engage in activities opposing pornography. I think that's a pretty new one, as far as I know, with a few others. Saying children, but they can't say or may not support legislation anyway, saying, which to me, I mean, that means they can't say it either way. Children belong to parents rather than the state, so.
That's ridiculous. But, you know, that's the people that have been relying on the government, the churches that have been relying on the government instead of God. So, yep, God's kind of closing the loops here. He's dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Anybody else? Well, this is just a start, folks. This is not, it's going to get worse than this. Martial law's coming. Martial law means they're going to clamp down. You can't leave. You can't go anywhere but inside the town that you live in.
Hey, brother.
Yes.
It sounds like it's starting to head towards the way they do it in China. A lot of the churches, they're acceptable as long as the government regulates, makes the regulations. And that's why the underground church in China, which I was able to experience, they had to hide because it was like they had to go from house to house. And if they were caught, they were put in jail.
Or killed.
Well, yeah, I didn't hear too much about killing, but I 2 weeks before my husband and I went over there, there are some saints that went to jail, and it was some groups that we were going to see. So, yeah, it sounds like once the government gets in there, it's going to get worse, like you said.
Yeah, it's going to get worse for those who don't believe the Word of God and the promises that God's given us. But those that are abiding in that, in Christ, and that are believing the promises and are utilizing that faith and working on that faith and acting on that faith, they're going to be hidden in Mount Zion. And in Mount Zion, if you remember in the scriptures, is where safety is.
Amen.
It's where the bride is.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share before we close out? It's been a good night. I thoroughly enjoyed what Michael had to say, and Tim, and Chad, and everybody, and I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you all Thursday night. I'm looking for something, but anyway, praise God. Lord, I just praise you, Lord, and I thank you for the work that you're doing, that you did tonight through your people. I thank you for your word that's come forth, Lord. It's a good word. It's a word right out of the word, and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your word about knowing no man after the flesh. We need to know him by the Spirit of God, Lord, and it's just hammered home to me here in the last week. Even our family members, we have to know them, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching me that. You know, we get to thinking sometimes that we're something, and when all we are is just a piece of dirt on this ground, and we're trying to get rid of the dirt part of it and getting the Spirit part of it, Lord, and we thank you for those lessons that you teach us. And we praise you, Lord, that this week is going to be an awesome week in the Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for anointing everyone with you and filling them with your Holy Spirit. Show them new revelations out of your word, Lord. Let that hidden manna come forth and shine through that word of God like a neon sign, Lord. And people learning new ways and new things, new revelations out of your word, Lord. And they're abiding in you, Lord. And I thank you for that. Pull us all in with your hunger, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Pull us all in to get in and stay in that Word of God nowadays, because it's so necessary in the days ahead that we would be staying in the Word and abiding in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your supernatural protection around each one of us. We thank you for your angels that are hovering over us, Lord, shielding us from any kind of attacks of the enemy. We thank you for the warfare you've placed each one of us in, that combat mode. You've placed that armor of God on each one of us, Lord, and teaching us that we are in a warfare and that we have to fight that war every day, because the enemy is out there, and he's trying to bring us all down. But Lord, but God, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be a powerful influence in each one of our lives, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God bless everybody, and we'll see you Thursday.